Welcome to Grace Baptist Church. Good to see everyone here. Happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. And there are those who are not fathers, but are father figures to people. And so happy Father's Day to you as well. And in some sense, men are, in a sense, in that position. And I know a lot of times as a male teacher, even though I wasn't the father of those children, I was a father figure to many of them. They didn't have their dads around. And so it is a privileged position and yet one of high responsibility. Well, we'd like to turn to Luke chapter 11 and get our cues from our Father in heaven as to what a father ought to be. And also see that we as fathers need our Heavenly Father. And how blessed we are to have our Heavenly Father, if indeed we have been born again of the Holy Spirit. But notice, I just want to read the first two verses of Luke chapter 11. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, that is speaking of Christ, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John, speaking of John the Baptist, also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Let's pray. Our Father God, we thank you, Lord, that we can come before you, Lord, that you are our Father in heaven, and that you rule and reign the affairs of men and throughout the entire universe, and that we can even come before your presence, the King, the one who rules sovereign over all things. And Father, we pray that you would meet with us this day, that you would, Lord, be exalted in our midst. We pray, Father, that you would help us to draw comfort and encouragement and, Lord, instruction. And, Father, that we would have your divine enablement so that we may be as fathers that would be pleasing in your sight. We thank you, Father, that we have this day, this Lord's Day, where we can honor you and to worship you, and Lord, set aside the cares of this life and be able, Lord, to concentrate, meditate upon you, our God. We ask, Father, that you would forgive us where we've sinned. We pray that you would enable us by your grace to preach forth your word. And that you would forgive me of my sins and remove any obstacle that would stand in the way of the flow of the blessings of your grace that comes through your word. We ask, Father, that you would move in power in the hearts of those who, as of yet, have not come to know Christ as their Savior. There is no real experience of having you as their Father. We pray, Father, that you would work in that way. And we pray that you would hear us. For we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus and for his sake. Amen. I don't often deal with these traditional days that we have on our calendar. But there is a spiritual application here. Sometimes I speak against certain days on the calendar and sometimes for or both on certain days in the calendar. And but I thought it would be appropriate as we take in consideration, we're talking about God the Father. And then secondly, we'll be dealing with the subject of the family in our conference. And as you know, there has been an attack on the family. Down through the years, and that attack has gotten worse and worse and worse. It hasn't let up. We haven't arrived. All of a sudden, you know, there's lesser divorces and there's lesser broken homes. That's not the case. And so it is very appropriate. It is a message in season as we think about the example that we have in our Father in heaven. Now, in dealing with this subject, it needs to be pointed out that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are distinct members of the Godhead. They are distinct members of the Godhead, and they are the one true God, the triune God. They are one God. There's only one God. Matter of fact, it says in Ephesians 4:6, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So this God that we speak of is a Trinitarian God that we find in the Holy Scriptures. Interestingly enough, Christianity, true Christianity, is the only religion that speaks of God as Father. I don't know if you realize that. There are some who describe God as some distant entity, a deity that created everything and just left us all to fend for ourselves. There are those who believe that. There are those who believe that God is this cold and hard and demanding tyrant. They're just looking for the opportunity to punish someone, like the God of the Mohammedans. And there are those who believe that God is represented by one who is just this doting deity that is neither God, but is more human than God. Cannot do anything to intervene to help anybody. But that's not the God of Scripture. The God of Scripture is spoken of as a Father who can intervene, who can help us. But you know, that's where the enemy wants, our adversary wants us to get to that point. Satan wants us to be at the point where there's no hope. There's no help for you. You're on your own. And it's no wonder that the enemy of our souls would seek to destroy manhood and fatherhood in our culture. We lose that. We lose a bit of who God is. We in our minds. We see it also that, in fact, the number one common thread that you find in atheists is that they had a bad relationship with their father, their earthly father. The Bible speaks much of the importance of fatherhood. We see Abraham and Isaac. We see David and Solomon. David and Absalom. You know, there was a great love that David had for Absalom. We see that the prodigal son, where the father, the prodigal son, went wandering off, and the father was waiting for him. The father came back, and there's a great and glad reunion there. Matter of fact, Psalms tells us in Psalms 103, verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And there's a conditional statement right there. Those that fear him. And we're not, as I mentioned many times, as I deal with the fear of God, I'm not talking about a slavish, cowering kind of fear. I'm talking about a reverence, a reverential kind of fear, a respect and awe of who God is. Now, for many of us, in our own experiences, our fathers may have been taken away from us. Maybe at an early age. Maybe like me later on in life. But like what Tim said there in Psalms, when my father and my mother forsake me, even it's death, the Lord's going to take me in His arms. He's going to be my father. And we know that as we look at this whole idea of fatherhood, that there are bad relationships. There's fathers who are far away, fathers who have been distant, and some there's been great relationships and close, but God, as our Father, the best and most perfect Father there ever could be, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, the Creator of the universe. This is the God I'm talking about. This should not be some cold, dry, boring subject. Something's wrong with your heart if that's the case. This is something exciting and exhilarating and encouraging for the child of God. The Apostle Paul, and you know, one of the things that fathers are known for, their strength, right? It's supposed to be the stronger vessel, right? Fathers are known for their strength. Our Heavenly Father, we see that the Apostle Paul appeals to the Father. First of all, we understand, well, that Jesus, when He prays, He prays, Abba, Father, and He says, all things are possible unto thee, there in Mark 14:36. All things are possible. In other words, God's all powerful. And that's an encouragement and a comfort for us who are God's children. But He knows all about us too. The Apostle Paul appeals to the Father when he says, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 31, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I not lie not. He knows everything about us, and yet He doesn't leave us nor forsake us. Still, and yet, in spite of the fact that He knows everything about us, He doesn't disown us. And God the Father is unchangeable. He's never going to leave us nor forsake us, change His relationship with us. It says there in James 1:17, every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, no shadow of turning. Tim was talking about light, God being our light. He's the Father of lights. What does that mean for us? He brightens our day. You know, as a child, when our dads would come home, at least in my case, I'm thankful to say I was so glad to see my dad when he came home. And as little kids would go running out the door, give him a big hug. He brightened my day. But even more so, the Father in heaven, the Father of lights, He brightens my day. That's what the Lord does for us. As we look to Him, He guides us, as Brother Tim was talking about, and directs us. His words, a light under the pathway and a lamp unto our feet, to show us the way to go, to show us any danger that's in the way. But as our text says, He's the Father in heaven. Tim, He's got the high ground. He's way up there. He's above all. He's greater than all. We see that His very name is hallowed. Hallowed be thy name. That means His name is holy. His name is perfect. Because He's perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect, be ye perfect, Jesus said. He's perfect, He's holy, He's righteous. His kingdom is coming, He rules and He reigns on this earth and then throughout the universe. But let's look at some specifics and categorize them. We want to look first of all at the fact that this, our Heavenly Father, is a Father that is accessible. He's a Father that's accessible. Now, we may ask ourselves the question, well, how could that be? Jesus prayed and said, Holy Father, and hallowed be thy name. How can I come before this Holy Father. Because it does say in God's Word that we are sinners. We transgressed His holy commandments. It says there in John 8:44, when Jesus is describing the religious leaders, what did He say? Ye are of your father the devil. Now, understand, I don't know who is of the father the devil as far as those who are elect and not elect or reprobate or whatever, but I do know one thing. We are all by nature children of the devil. Children of the cruel taskmaster, Satan. Matter of fact, this idea is supported by what we see in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, beginning in verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. Now, how did God express that love to His children, to His elect? Well, we find that in Ephesians chapter 1, He predestinated us. That's one way in which He expressed His love. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's the key. Somebody can, like the Mormons who like to say Heavenly Father all the time, but they are not in Christ. They're so-called salvation is not by grace, and that's the only way it can be, by grace. It's really not a salvation. It's a damnation. But in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us, speaking of the Father, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. The love of the Father is expressed in His predestination. A lot of times we don't think about predestination and think of love. We think of some cold, hard doctrine of predestination, but it's a doctrine of love. It is an expression of God the Father's love for His children. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. Again, notice that connection. It is through Christ. According to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. We even see that the Father, He's accessible because He forgives sins. What did Jesus say on the cross? What was He saying? He prayed to the Father and He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus, upon the basis of His work at Calvary, prayed that prayer, Father, forgive them. Look at what I'm doing. I'm paying the penalty. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But then also, His love is expressed by the very fact that He sent His Son. Notice there in John 3:16, very familiar passage, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's an expression of His love. toward his people. We understand it's not the whole world. Otherwise, everybody be saved. And then I mentioned that the Father is accessible. And we have that the same kind of root word there in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. For through Him, through Christ, through Him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. He's accessible through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3:12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Not just, well, you can get in there. And you can have some access, but it's very limited. It's very difficult. And no, with boldness, we have access. And then it's further elaborated there in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Holiest and the most holy place, there before the presence of our Father, we have access to Him. As a matter of fact, Jesus says of Himself in John chapter 10, He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door under the sheepfold, but climbeth up by some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Jesus is a door. He says He's the door. You look over there in John 10 and 9. It said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. So He's the door. And through Him, we have access to the Father. We have an adoption through a propitiation. In other words, we have adoption through the wrath-satisfying, the justice-satisfying death of Christ. His suffering for sin, His suffering for sinners, and for all who would trust in Him alone for salvation. As a matter of fact, Jesus says in John 14:6, He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So our access is through Jesus Christ. But then we find also that He also sent the Spirit. You know, He's called the Comforter. And the Comforter wasn't going to come and be sent by the Father until Jesus ascended up into heaven. As a matter of fact, we see in Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them, this is Jesus speaking, that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, for the promise of the Holy Spirit. If earthly fathers, being evil, can give good gifts to their children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Luke chapter 11, verse 14 tells us. And then, of course, Jesus and His speaking to Nicodemus, religious leader. What did He say? Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. He must be born again of the Spirit. And it says there in Romans 8:15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. That's what so many people do. When they get religious, they enter into a period of bondage unto fear. There's a slavish kind of fear. I got to do this and I got to do that. And it's all about me working myself to get to heaven. But it's bondage. The truth sets you free. Jesus sets you free. And it goes on to say, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. My Father. And then we see that it says in John chapter 1, it's recorded for us in verse 12, but as many as have received Him, to them gave He power. He gave authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And this is all contrary to the false heretical teaching of the universal fatherhood of God. It's only through Christ. Even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So we have access to this Heavenly Father, the greatest Father that ever has been and ever will be. The eternal Father, who's always been the Father and always will be the Father. But He's also a Father who is approachable. He's accessible and He's approachable. Now you might think, well, that's about the same thing, isn't it? Not really. You ever been at a place of employment where the boss said, well, I have an open door policy here. You have access to me whenever you need to. But the guy just has this angry scowl on his face all the time. And he's got these angry words that come out of his mouth all the time. He's not very approachable. He might say he's got open door policy and he's accessible, but he's not very approachable. But our Father's not like that. It says in the Matthew's account of our text in Matthew 6 and verse 9. Notice when Jesus teaches them to pray. He says, first of all, our Father. Everyone that are our disciple or follower of Jesus Christ. He's our Father. Which art in heaven. Now understand, the Lord delights to hear the prayers of His people, the scriptures tell us. His name is hallowed. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. He wants us to come to Him and ask, not bread for the month. Daily bread. Woo-hoo! Praying without ceasing. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Yes, with our sins we come. This is how approachable He is. I can imagine going to some bosses that I've worked for in the past and, you know, I messed up. I don't even want to say that. I don't even want to go there. But usually they find out before I do that anyway. But the Lord wants us to come and to lay it all out before Him. Lord, I have sinned against heaven, against others, and against You. Forgive me of my sins. Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. For Thine is the kingdom. You are Lord, and there is none other. The power and the glory forever. He's not frustrated with my requests. He's not impatient about Him coming to me over and over again. Sometimes about the same thing in the same day. He still loves us. He still delights for us to come. He's not too busy. He's not too distracted. He's focused. Don't you love it when you're talking to somebody and they're over there looking at their phone, or, you know, it's like, okay, I guess you don't really care about what I got to say, even though I'm talking to you about the Lord. But the Lord's not like that. He's focused in, paying close attention to our needs, our prayers. But then notice there in Matthew verse 10, this is how much He cares. And chapter 10, verse 29, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? It's like a penny. And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. He takes note of the little sparrow. But notice what Jesus says, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more value than many sparrows. He cares for one little sparrow. He certainly cares a whole lot more about us who are His children. The sparrow was the smallest sacrifice that could be given. Then we find again, we find that Hebrews chapter 4 reiterates the approachability of our Father. It says, seeing then in Hebrews 4:14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but it was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, or to go to the Father, because of what Jesus has done, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help time of need. To help. Not just some useless antidote that somebody throws at you. Some canned response. But it's really helpful to us. But then thirdly, our Father in heaven is not only accessible, approachable, but He's enjoyable. You ever been around people that they're just enjoyable company? That's the way our Father is. He's enjoyable. Notice in Matthew 11, verse 25, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. So how can you enjoy it? You got to come to Him as a child. You can't come strutting down the aisle thinking you know it all, because the Father will not reveal Himself to you. We must come as a child, humbly before Him. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him. That's how we come to enjoy the Father, is by coming to know Him intimately. And then Jesus goes on to say, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God the Father is enjoyable because He comforts. Fathers should comfort their children. A good father can comfort their children. And there are times, you know, when us fathers, we're sometimes rough around the edges and we're not very comforting. I thank God for the moments in which I could. I remember one time it was a football game. My son was, they were in a championship game in the Christian school and playing flag football and all this. And my son didn't cover this guy too well, and they got the winning touchdown. And I just put my arm around him, told him, it's okay, it's just a game. You did your best. That's all that counts. Father is to be comforting. Matter of fact, it says there in 2 Corinthians 1:3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. All kinds of comfort. All kinds of good comfort. You know, there are some things that are comforting that will numb you, like drugs. You might feel more comfortable, but the side effects are horrible. And God's side effects, He don't have any side effects that are horrible. They're all good. It brings comfort. But God the Father also provides as fathers do. Notice in Luke chapter 11, verse 7, right after our text, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? He's enjoyable because He gives us good things. He gives us good fellowship. He gives us good grace. He gives us good comfort. He gives us that good and eternal salvation. As a matter of fact, we find that James tells us there in 1:17 again, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variables, no shadow of turning. Every good and perfect gift comes from this Father, our Heavenly Father. How blessed we are who are the children of God, to have such a father. You know, not everyone has his father. Some here this morning may be one who does not have such a father at this point in time in their life. Notice there in Matthew 6:26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? It's not just providing for our needs. It's that daily fellowship. 1 John 1, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. It's not, well, I got to meet the president the other day. It's, or whoever it is that you admire. I not only got to meet the Father, but I get to fellowship with Him constantly. Whenever I want. That's the kind of Father we have. I think we don't, like the song we just sang, count our blessings. Have we counted that blessing of how blessed we are to have such a Father to be able to fellowship with at all times? Don't we sometimes feel alone? Don't we feel like sometimes that the burdens are so great, we can take it to our Father. We can cast our care upon Him because He cares for us. But God the Father also protects as fathers do. Not only provides for us, He not only comforts us, but He provides and protects. There in John 10:29, "My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and none is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Amen. I feel protected. I feel safe. I feel secure. I don't just feel it. I am, whether I feel it or not. I am secure. Because nobody can pluck me out of the Father's hand. But He's a Father who's also reverential. He's to be reverenced. We find that it says there in Psalms 111 verse 9, He sent redemption. Who's the Redeemer? Jesus. He sent redemption unto His people. He hath commanded His covenant forever. So when something just happened once and then it's over, it's forever. This covenant that He's made with His children. Holy and reverend is His name. Now, these people have reverend in front of their names. They really need to get it off their names. Because that's God's name. Holy and reverend is His name. We find that He's worthy of worship. Paul, as he was there on Mars Hill, as he was preaching to the heathen there, it says there in Acts 17, verse 24, "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worship." They understood the existence of God. They understood that God is worthy of worship with men's hands as though He needed anything. "Seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things, is made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed in the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though it be not far from every one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring." He's worthy of worship. Now, He's only the Father of everybody by creation. He's our Father in heaven, as mentioned in our text, by redemption through Christ. He is worthy of worship. Matter of fact, He seeks worshipers in John 4:23. "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him." You know, the Bible tells us to honor your father and your mother. "And he that curses father or mother," Matthew 15:4, "let him die the death." Serious. If it's serious to dishonor your earthly father, it is really serious when you dishonor the heavenly Father. Those who don't fear are foolish and will perish in their sins. We find that in Malachi's time, there are those who were like that. "A son honors his father and a servant his master, but if then I be a father, where is mine honor?" They weren't honoring the Father. Well, we find that in 1 Samuel 2:3 says, "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel said, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord said, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor." Can you imagine that? That God would honor us, not because we're any good, but because He gives those good gifts, doesn't He? To honor us. And Jesus says, in John 5:23, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Those who claim to that they're going to heaven, but they don't honor the Son like the Father is honored, they are not honoring the Father. And they shall go to hell to be punished. They will die the death. I'm not talking about just physical death, but eternal death in the lake of fire. Where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. We have a perfect Father to care for us. Who is endlessly able to care for us. Who is ever willing to help us. He gives endless peace. He gives never-ending joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Heard about a lady who was a widow over in Europe. And she was in a tough spot. She was didn't have enough bread. And so she was a believer and she prayed to the Father and asked that somehow that God would send some bread. Well, an atheist who lived next door was doing some gardening and heard her cry out to the Father and thought he would pull a little prank on her. So I'm going to get me some bread. I'm going to lay it at the doorstep, knock at the door, and run away. And so she went to the door, and there is the bread. And she was thanking the Lord and praising her Heavenly Father. And then he came to the door and said, "Look, you foolish woman, I'm the one that gave you this bread. It wasn't this God, the Father that you prayed to." And she said, with a wittiness about her, "Praise be to my Father who can even use a devil to give me a piece of bread." That's like our Father. He does such things. He can use whoever, whatever means he wants to use. He's sovereign over all. He's infinitely wise. He's ever faithful. He's omnipotent. He's ever loving Father. The heathen has no comfort in time of death or in hard times. And this whole idea of suicide going up, the rate of suicide is going out of control. It plays right into the hand of the destroyer, Satan himself, who seeks to destroy. Plays right into his hands. Can you join with me as the Lord commands us? It says there in Colossians 1:12, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." We got an inheritance too. We got an eternal inheritance. Give thanks. That takes all the grumpiness away when we can give thanks to what God has done for us. When we count our blessings. I like what John says in John 3. "Behold." Look. Take some time. Meditate upon it. "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. But not only that, therefore the world knoweth not us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be, but we shall know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Now, behold. If you know anything about your sinfulness, this will make your heart rejoice. If you're just playing a religious game, why waste your time? Really. come to believe on Christ. Truly believe on Him. Find out what this rejoicing is about. Have something to rejoice about even when things don't go your way all the time. I wished I had been able to, and our two children that was died in an untimely birth, as they call it, I wish I could have intervened for those two children. But I like what it says there in John 5:21, "For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will." He's going to raise up children that have passed on. He's going to raise up fathers that have passed on. Because He's the Heavenly Father that He is. To give unending happiness. But the other alternative is unending shame and sadness and hell. Jesus says in Matthew 25:34, "Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." It was the Father's good pleasure to give the kingdom to His children. Do you know where I'm coming from? Can you rejoice with me? Do you know whereof I speak? Or is it just a ritualistic affair with you? Because I fear, because unto whom much is given, much will be required. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and have the Father in heaven as your Father. We'd like to go ahead and close with a word of prayer.